Influx needs any help?
I'm wondering if I could look at a couple pieces of it.
Sure. Robert James is the manager of Mariskaya's, a small business in Nome that sells local gifts and handmade crafts, including ivory carvings. He says most of their ivory pieces, made from mastodon, whalebone, and walrus ivory, are all sold to a specific clientele.
It's a very client-based business, so we're not necessarily have to get out there too much. I mean, the challenges are more and more, so it might get to that point where we'll have to. But for a lot of times, people will seek us out, or we have certain clients, because we end up wholesaling a lot out of Nome, because it's a great place to buy, but we don't get the foot traffic like Southeast or anywhere else. So
James is wrapping a mounted beluga whale carved out of walrus ivory for a couple of tourists from Washington State. According to James, Mariskaya's best months for ivory sales are July through September, which is also when a few cruise ships like the Crystal Serenity make port in Nome. Mariskaya's receives and sells ivory pieces from native carvers throughout the Bering Straits region. Susie Suluk, a native ivory carver from Gamble, recalls a time she addressed a tourist group in Nome, and one potential ivory customer mentioned their hesitancy to make a purchase.
They were scared to buy any ivory without a piece of paper that gives information on where it's from and the fact that it is legal, because in the elephant ivory ban, antiquities are allowed up to 100 years old, but it's up to the owner to prove that this piece is 100 years old and therefore is legal. And people are worried about that. They're worried about having to prove that their item is legal, actually.
Suluk feels that if carvers don't get their artwork certified, then it will hurt their business. James says even if they wanted to get certifications for the ivory Mariskaya sells, it's just not feasible.
And we can't get any kind of formal documentation that says, you know, this is authentic native art. Ideally, we would get it from CITES, which is the International Trade Exporting Association. But it's not that simple, because you have to, every time you apply for that, it's on each individual piece, and there's a huge fee each time. So a lot of the time, it's not worth, and it's also like a 3 to 6 month wait, so a lot of people aren't going to wait that long anyway.
James believes it would take some clear legislation from the Alaska delegation to clarify the differences between walrus and elephant ivory as a way to reassure people who are concerned about buying ivory carvings. Although that state legislation does not yet exist, Suluk says an educational brochure is available that explains how Native Alaskans' use of walrus ivory is excluded from an elephant ivory ban in the U.S., which was established by President Obama's executive order last year.
Even though there's an exemption for existing federal legislation permitting other items, which would be us under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, not many people are aware of not just that law, but our legal use of walrus ivory. So this brochure is part of an ongoing effort by organizations to inform the American public about our legal cultural use of walrus ivory, in the hopes that states will not ban it along with other items that they are attempting to ban as they respond to the executive order.
This Alaska Native Ivory brochure was created through collaboration between the Eskimo Walrus Commission, the Alaska State Council of the Arts, and others. In Nome, Vera Metcalf serves as the director of the Eskimo Walrus Commission. She explains how walrus and their ivory tusks are priceless in more ways than one.
I'm from Savunga, St. Lawrence Island, and I grew up with ivory, and I have many relatives and friends who make crafts to make income. It is highly, utilized and valued, so it's a valuable, beautiful piece of resource that we have been utilizing for centuries. So part of it is like, it's part of our identity, it's part of our life ways.
Metcalf says the commission is also working with the Alaska delegation to educate other state delegations about walrus ivory before they decide to implement more inclusive ivory bans. As it stands, California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, and Hawaii all have their own state ivory legislation, some of which ban walrus ivory along with elephant ivory. When asked if these state bans have affected Mariskaya's ivory sales, James replied,
"Oh, absolutely, sure. And we've just had to adapt, find other clients. We used to go to California and do the Marin Show in San Francisco, and we can't do that anymore. So that was a big weekend for us, because we really only get out of Alaska and bring large amounts of inventory to a couple shows, you know, and that was one of them. So we're not panicking yet, but sure, yeah, it's affected sales.
James is hopeful that the Alaska Native Ivory brochure will continue to educate his potential customers and help carvers in the region sell more pieces of ivory off Mariskaya's shelves. For now, James says Mariskaya's will operate as usual and participate in a craft show in Santa Fe, New Mexico this August. Reporting in Nome, I'm Davis Hovey.